But it's so hard to remember everything.
Truly, as we just discussed, barely remember the beginning of this episode.
Truly don't remember anything. I'm like Drew Barrymore in 51st Dates.
Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom. Back to you, Bob. Accept your perfect life, Dawson. It's reality.
Cleanup continues to...
982. Back to you, Bob.
Hello, and welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We are your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is the Season 3 Bobby Awards.
The Season 3 Bobbies. It's award season.
It is, baby. Golden Globes. Oscars.
Critics' Choice Awards.
SAG Awards.
WGA Awards. The Daytime Emmys are in June. Anyway, the point is, we're here.
We're here, and this season spanned so much. I cannot believe that Rob Logan and The Longest Day happened in the same season. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, like Eve and Aunt Gwen were in the same season. It's crazy.
Nonsense.
Well, we want to talk about the season in general, just recap. Like, that's what we use the Bobbies as a reason to do, talk about the season as a whole. It started with one showrunner, Tammy Ader. She wrote 301, Like a Virgin, almost immediately replaced by Alex Gonza, who was then replaced somewhere around Look Who's Coming to Dinner. The cast did not react kindly to the Pacey-Jen hooking up storyline. They were supposed to have sex in an episode in like the school bathroom. It was rewritten. The cast kind of had a little mutiny and they went to WB and like they didn't really like the direction of the show. This is the first season without Kevin Williamson. And so then the season took a very different turn after Alex Gonza left under Greg Berlanti. And so that's when the Pacey-Joey-Dawson triangle really started to take shape, even though there were little seeds of it planted in the front half of the season.
As we learned, the writers scrambled and pulled it together and made what I think is one of the better portions of the show as a whole.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
So this season, we had Michael Pitt as Henry. Doug Witter came back. We had Ethan pop up to help Jack. We had Nikki Green, Bianca Lawson. We had AJ, who came to give Joey a little love arc. We had the return of Bodie. We had the appearance of Will Krudsky, who helped usher in the Dawson's Creek spinoff, Young Americans. We had Buzz, played by Jonathan Lipnicki. We had Jen's mom pop up, Helen Lindley, in Thanksgiving. We had Marla Gibbs, who's a Hollywood legend.
Legend.
Show up in First Encounters of the Close Kind. Principal Green, also a legend. Brittany Daniel, who played Eve. She came on the pod. We love her. She was amazing. We had Rob Logan. We had Mr. McPhee come back. We had Matt Caulfield come and just cause a ruckus, desecrating Joey's mural. We had Miss Constance.
Miss Constance. Who could forget?
The drag queens.
Who could forget?
We had Aunt Gwen. So it was a lot of amazing guest stars this season. And it really was a great season. I mean, I know it's your favorite season. I know it's your most watched season.
It is.
So we wanted to talk about just in general what happened this season before we get into our awards. And we broke it into 6 bullet points. The first bullet point, Joey and Pacey's unexpected connection. So Joey and Pacey's relationship takes center stage this season as they move from playful antagonism to a deeper, unexpected bond. The romantic tension builds throughout the season, leading to a love triangle with Dawson, Joey's lifelong friend, and Pacey's best friend. Second big thing of the season was Dawson's journey of self-discovery. So Dawson embarks on a journey of self-reflection, stepping back from his pursuit of Joey to explore his creative aspirations and other relationships. His attraction to new bad girl Eve Whitman brings some drama, and although Eve's storyline remains mysterious and short-lived, it does kind of change Dawson, and then that baton kind of gets handed off to Nikki Green, who helps Dawson look inward and realize Joey actually is this big thing in his life. He was kind of doubting her role in his creativity, and all roads lead back to Joey is what he found, although by then it was too late. The third big thing of the season was Jen. So Jen kind of went out on her own this season. She embraced her independence. She becomes a cheerleader and she got her own storyline in the form of Henry Parker, played by Michael Pitt. And their relationship was wild to rewatch.
Way different than we remembered.
We remembered it being so sweet and so cute. And then now looking back, it was stagnant. And then there was also a lot of weird insecurity on her part and then weird control issues on his part. The fourth big thing, Jack McPhee's journey. So we watch it continue this season. He's kind of coming to terms more with his identity as a gay teen. He's in a small town. He's online dating. He finally finds his niche a little bit with Jen and he joins the school football team. And then he meets Ethan, who kind of becomes like his gay mentor and his gay best friend. It goes over into a little bit of romance for Jack, but not for Ethan. And it kind of leads to Jack's first heartbreak. But then he finds comfort in the arms of his dad. Not in the arms of his dad. That sounds weird. In his dad.
He kind of is in his arms at the end of the season.
And his dad finally accepts him, which is really cute. So we love that for Jack.
Truly.
The fifth thing, Andy McPhee. Wow. What a roller coaster.
Wow.
Her mental health struggles are in the forefront right from the jump. She returns in episode 2, I believe. And she's cheated on Pacey over the summer, which ends her relationship with Pacey. And she kind of goes from being this good girl who struggled to be perfect to this girl who will do anything to be perfect. She cheats on the SATs. She's doing whatever it takes to kind of uphold that image. Maybe falsely accuses Rob Logan of assaulting her. We never really got the full answer there. She dabbles with dating outside of Pacey with Will Krutsky, only to kind of find that Pacey is the one for her. But she really did a lot of work on herself this season, which was a new look for her because in season 2, she's really self-assured and knows who she is. And in this season, she kind of falters with that a bit. And then, of course, the big thing, which we already touched upon, was the Pacey-Joey-Dawson love triangle. It climaxes when Pacey kisses Joey and she realizes that she has feelings for him. And then when Dawson finds out in The Longest Day, it shatters all of their friendships and it really separates the show from the first 3 seasons and the last 3 seasons. The divide is there. Innocence is lost. Their friendships are all changed. And it's a different show moving forward.
I feel like at the end of every season, we're like, it's like they've been put in a bag, shaken up, and then thrown back out. And that's kind of where we're at again.
Yeah. This season was a lot of loss of innocence and friendships being tested and loyalty and all of those obstacles that come with friendships.
Yeah. And people just sort of realizing that just because it's been that way doesn't mean it's going to stay that way forever, whether that's in friendship or in relationships.
Yeah. And this season saw the addition of Kerr Smith and Meredith Monroe as series regulars. So last Bobby's, we had a lot of awards, you know, main cast, you know, guest cast. And Kerr Smith and Meredith Monroe are now in the running as main cast. That's a big difference in our Bobby's.
Yeah. They were guest stars in season 2, and now they're here to stay.
And another notable thing is that all of the writers changed this season, except for Greg Berlanti.
Literally all.
There was a complete writer's room change.
Yeah, that's nuts to think about. And you as a writer can kind of attest that having people who know the show and know the characters and know the voice of the characters, it's kind of an integral part of a writer's room. And the fact that they wiped and started clean is part of the reason that they stumbled out of the gates. But the fact that they pulled it together mid-season and had such a strong finish, those writers who took them across the finish line are incredible.
Incredible, which we will be delving into in our interview with Gina Fattori.
Yeah.
Which will be coming out shortly.
She gave us a lot of insight into how that all went down. And it was super interesting.
Oh my God. Her memory and her attention to detail during all of that.
Incredible.
I can't even remember what happened on the show I worked on like last year, you know? And for her to have that recall, her recall was just so...
Well, that's probably why she pulled it together, because she was able to watch the show, learn the characters, and then it was just committed to that vault.
Yeah.
Her little brain vault.
Well, I say let's dive in. That was like our monologue.
Let's do it. I'm pumped because I didn't remember anything and I had to go back and be like, oh my gosh, that is crazy that happened this season. That is incredible.
Yeah.
So as we do every year, we will be each announcing our pick for the category and we will flip a coin now to see who is going to announce the first category first.
And the reason this matters is because if I pick yours, you can't pick that.
Yes. Heads or tails?
I will pick tails.
Okay. It is heads.
Ugh.
Our first category is best to drink. And I chose the Ward 8, which we drank on episode 310, First Encounters of the Close Kind. It is rye, lemon juice, orange juice, and grenadine. And I just loved it. I bought grenadine just for it, and I've had a few since then. I thought it was really, really good. So if you're at home, go back to the Instagram and look at that recipe if you want to try it.
My winner for best drink is the cheerleader from episode 302, Homecoming.
Oh.
And that is pomegranate juice, orange juice, and Prosecco.
Nice. I did like that.
I love a Prosecco. I mean, I'm going to probably pick a Prosecco drink anytime it's the option. I just love a little champagne moment.
Yeah, that was great. That was like a little mimosa moment.
Yeah. So cheers. Clink.
Cheers.
Now we're going to get into the juicy, juicy.
Okay. So this will be you announcing first. And this category is best dressed.
So my winner for best dressed character of season 3, there wasn't a lot to work with. I'll be honest. The fashion was not fashioning, but I went with Pacey Witter because he had the most, I think, iconic looks. You know, he wore those jackets. He loves a corduroy moment. I'm not a big baggy, like, bowler shirt person, but it works for him. I think his holds up the best. My reigning winner, Andy McPhee, kind of took a tumble this year.
Holy cow, Andy McPhee. She made some choices.
Yeah, she made some choices. So that is why I'm going to give it to Pacey Witter. Yes, congrats, Pacey Witter.
I definitely agree with you that he was iconic this season. When I think of the Pacey in my head that I adore, he's wearing a lot of the clothes that he wore this season. And his style evolves, so I don't think it's necessarily for the better in the later seasons.
Yeah.
Well, my best dressed winner is Eve, because if I could have dressed in crop tops and belly chains in the year 2000, you better believe that's what I would have been wearing. I would have been wearing that 100%. I wish that I was her, but I wasn't, and that's okay. I hated myself, and so I wore jeans and hoodies all the time.
I love her fashion. I love her little like tube dresses or whatever.
Yeah.
Which are like kind of back.
Everything she's doing is back. The 90s, early 2000s are here. And I think she did it really well. So she wins my Bobby.
I don't hate that. I agree with that.
Ew.
So you're up first for the worst dressed of season 3.
Oh, my worst dressed Bobby is going to AJ Moeller. He is atrocious. He looks like three kids on each other's shoulders wearing their dad's suit. Like, he doesn't make any sense. His clothes don't fit right. He has this weird toddler boy face, but he is a man, and it didn't work for me. Nothing about it worked for me.
I feel you on that. So my winner for worst dressed of season 3, again, they all could have won it, really. I'm going to go with Henry. I didn't like anything, really, outside of the football uniform. Anytime he wore his own clothes, it was just not good.
Not it for you.
In my head, he has such good hair, like in my memory, but he doesn't have good hair.
It's pretty greasy.
Yeah, none of it works. And he's getting my worst dress, Bobby. Henry Parker. Sorry.
Sorry about it.
Sorry about it, Henry.
All right, this is a good one. You are up next for best kiss.
Yes. So my winner for best kiss of season 3 is going to be Pacey and Joey, obviously. However, I'm going to pick the kiss at the beginning of The Longest Day.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically, where they are in the boathouse and they are like really going at it. I just think the chemistry between them is just really popping there. And it's just like, you know, you can really feel the tension. It's palpable. And just knowing like they're, as the episode goes on, you learn that everyone's like right outside and like they could be caught. And
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they had a lot of good kisses, but that was specifically my favorite. And when I think of them kissing, I think of that. I know that sounds really weird.
Yeah, no, that's hot. I feel like we talked about it a lot in that episode where it like made me yearn for new relationship energy. And that's a lot of the reason why, like it was all there. It was all working. Sparks were flying.
Sparks, sparks. What about your best kiss?
Well, I am also going to give it to Pacey and Joey, obviously, but I'm going to do the second kiss from 319 Stolen Kisses. So Pacey kisses Joey and Aunt Gwen stops them and tells them that they need to talk to Dawson. And then later in the episode, they're standing outside and they're talking. And Pacey's like, I'm not going to kiss you again. You know, I've kissed you twice. You have to kiss me. And if you have to think about it that hard, then obviously you don't want to. And he starts to leave and Joey stops him and kisses him. And it's just such a good moment. I think of that episode. When I think of season three, my mind immediately goes to that episode and kind of that, the imagery of that scene of them outside by the fire and stuff. So had to pick it. Love it. Love. Adore.
Totally agree. Which means you are up first for the next category, which is worst kiss.
Oh my God. Zero competition for me here. This is when Dawson kisses Joey outside of the prom. He sees Pacey and Joey dancing, which we as the audience know is because Joey's trying to right the ship and kind of make all things equal. And she'd already danced with Dawson, so she was going to dance with Pacey. And then they have that really wonderful moment and Dawson walks in and sees it and throws a fit. So they go outside. They're arguing in the wind, as you pointed out. It's so windy. It's just like a terrible situation. And then Dawson walks up to her face and kisses her and says, that's how the night was supposed to end. And then leaves her there on the street. And he just thought it was such like a big grand gesture, mic drop moment. And it's not. It was awful. It was so awkward. It made me cringe and I hated it.
Yeah, honestly, it's so bad that I like blocked it out of that episode and that scene. Like in my mind, they didn't kiss really much this season.
Awkward.
My worst kiss for season three, and this is going to be a controversial pick because it is the first gay kiss on television, but I'm going to go with Ethan and Jack from the finale because it's awkward. They have no chemistry. I know it's a big turning point for Jack, but like Ethan's boyfriend is sitting right there. Jack doesn't know this. And it kills Jack. And it didn't have any romance or chemistry for me. And it just kind of fell flat. I think it did what it had to do, which was break Jack's heart. And, he needed to get his kind of first one out of the way. And it wouldn't have been a good story for him to just like fall in love with his first gay love interest and then have a happy ending. So it all worked. But Ethan wasn't my favorite story this season. So hopefully Jack has some best kisses in the future I could choose from. But for me, I'm going to go with Ethan and Jack.
Yeah, that's a good pick. It was not a great situation for our boy Jack.
No, not good at all.
All right, next we have best fight, and you're up first.
So my award for best fight in season three is going to go to Dawson and Pacey in episode 303, None of the Above. And this is their fight on the docks at Joey's work. Eve has put the seed in Dawson's ear that Pacey stole the exam. Pacey is drunk because of Andy. They get into a horrible fight and they just kind of say the worst things that they think about each other. They're both kind of right, but they're not something you'd ever really say to your best friend. And it's just such a good fight.
I completely forgot about that fight. That is such a good fight. That was a great one.
What is your winner for best fight?
My winner for best fight is Pacey and Matt Caulfield from episode 315, Crime and Punishment. And this is when Pacey comes to Joey's defense. Basically, it's suspected that Matt Caulfield vandalized her mural. Pacey confronts him in the parking lot as he pulls in. There is so much rage and testosterone and like toxic masculinity in this fight. It's unbelievable. They're in each other's faces screaming. Matt Caulfield sucker punches Pacey and then they're like throwing each other over cars. I don't like that it's something that I adore, but my God, what the whole fight, I was like, oh,
I know.
Pacey.
That's an amazing fight. Also, just for this show, like just the stunts and the fight choreography and everything.
Yeah.
That is a great one, which I also forgot about.
It was a really good one. Stuck with me.
Should we be concerned that we're forgetting so much? Do we have like memory?
As we sip our cocktails.
Our memories are...
No, I might be descending into dementia, but it's fine.
But like fighting is hot. You know what I mean?
And because he was doing it to defend Joey's honor, I think is really why it did something for me. I don't know.
Like, I'm not really one of those people that's like, oh, fighting on TV and violence in video games affects I say, do the violence in your scripted things.
There you go.
Because we can't do it in real life. I don't know. Am I nuts?
No, I like it.
Well, anyway, we love a fight.
We sure do.
Verbal fights count. We love a spar.
Oh my God, do we ever? And there are a lot of good ones in this show.
So the next category is best guest cast. And this has two winners. One is for someone who is in one episode and that's it. It's called a one-off. And then the next winner is someone who is in a story arc. So multiple episodes, one or more episodes.
For best one-off guest cast, I'm giving it to Marla Gibbs playing Fran Boyd in First Encounters of the Close Kind. She came on screen. she slotted into that role so perfectly. She was kind of Andy's counterpart in that episode. She took her out to lunch. They had very heartwarming chats, and she kind of righted Andy's ship a little bit because Andy was spinning out about the college of it all. And she's a legend. She's an icon. She just did it so perfectly that I couldn't not give it to her.
I agree. She was mine because I just feel like she's a Hollywood legend. And for a teen show on the WB like this, which we know we love the show, but it definitely had a reputation for being a silly teen show where like the teens just talk about sex. And, you know, we've talked about the show's reputation. For them to get Marla Gibbs, I feel like it's just such a get.
Completely agree.
So she was mine as well. But luckily I have a backup, and that is Sarah Lancaster, who played Shelley.
Good one.
The waitress at Gail's Fresh Fish, Leary's Fresh Fish in Stolen Kisses. I mean, she's Sarah Lancaster.
And poor Shelley. Shelley took the brunt of Jen's wrath in that episode.
But you know what? The reason I picked her is because, and the reason I would have picked Marla, who played Fran Boyd, is like, I wanted them to be in more than one.
Sure.
I would have really liked for them to be more than one. And I feel like Shelley had potential. Shelley and Jen could have been friends or something.
I totally could see that. I totally could see Shelley kind of slotting in as a new Abby.
Yeah. So that was kind of my criteria for best guest cast one-off. Someone who I wanted to see again.
That makes sense.
So what about your best guest cast story arc?
You go first.
Oh my God, this is going to be a scandal. This is going to be a steal, I think. Well, obviously, I'm going to give it to Queen Brittany Daniel.
Yes, I knew
played
it.
Eve Whitman. And I love Eve in general. This is something that we talked about during the episodes, you know, that aired. But even after that, when we were lucky enough to sit down with Brittany, it just made me love Eve even more. And Brittany was so amazing. We talked about how I think she just kind of injected new energy into the show. And while a lot of people don't like the Eve episodes, they're really a big highlight for me for the series. And I just love how soapy she is and how she brings like a mystery element to the show. And I couldn't not give it to Brittany Daniel playing Eve.
I kind of figured that was going to be the case. I knew that I needed a strong backup, and I have one. It is Jonathan Lipnicki playing Buzz. Seeing him pop into the show at the time was like, holy cow, Jonathan Lipnicki. He was just such a thing in the zeitgeist, and then the culture after Jerry Maguire, it was such a big, like it kid, I feel like. His chemistry with Pacey, Buzz and Pacey together, is a spinoff that I want. What you said about the one-offs, like wanting more, we got a whole arc of Buzz and I still was left wanting more. I wanted him to come back the next season. Like, I just loved everything that they had going on. And he's such a good actor as a child. It's incredible.
He was my number two as well. So We're really in sync here.
Aligned.
We're really in sync on this guest cast category.
Sure are.
So our next category is worst guest cast, but we're focusing more on the characters. All the actors are great. It's just the characters that are not so great. So you're up first and we're going to do the same thing. So worst guest cast one-off.
Okay. So completely what you said, this has nothing to do with the actor. It's all about the character. I have to give it to Aunt Gwen. Julie Bowen, Aunt Gwen, is so much. She's so much. Watching a grown woman pull so hard for a romantic relationship between her nephew and just some girl she kind of knows is nuts to me. And love Julie Bowen. She's a queen. But Aunt Gwen, had to give it to her.
Well.
Was that yours?
Yes. And there's not much to pick from because a lot of people this season were on for arc. So there weren't a lot of one-offs.
Yeah.
Sorry, Aunt Gwen, you've been voted off the witch island for me.
All right, worst guest cast with an arc. You're up first.
My worst guest cast for the story arc is the character of Ethan, mm-hmm. which it shouldn't come as a shock. It was just not good for me, any of it. I just found him condescending, and I think Jack could do better. Yeah, I mean, what is there to say? Just didn't really enjoy any of it.
If anybody needs additional details, they can listen to the season, because you have been on the anti-Ethan train the entire time.
And I almost gave Ethan my worst dress, just because, like, the turtlenecks and the leather jacket and stuff, but I was like, I'm not even going to give Ethan that. So what about your worst guest cast character? I already know who it is, I could tell.
I'm giving it to AJ Mohler. I mean, we could have been in tandem in that way too, because he got my worst dressed and he's getting my worst guest cast. I can't stand AJ. He's wet cardboard to me. Like, he does nothing, but also is somehow annoying. I just don't care. I've never cared. And I kind of forgot. He's not in that many episodes, maybe three, but it was just felt like it went on a lot longer than it needed to.
Agree.
So that's it. AJ, Ethan, come collect your bobbies.
Those were my one and two as well. What was Henry, your number three?
I didn't put Henry on my list only because I kind of forgot that he would fit into this category. You know, like in my head, he's such a regular for the season that he didn't feel like guest cast arc to me. I did consider Rob Logan, though.
Yeah, I think to me is Rob, the character sucks. But again, you need some type of villain. And like he was good. I liked seeing him spar with Joey. Like, I didn't even like when AJ and Joey were sparring. It was just bad.
Fell dead, yeah.
At least Rob was like a good villain. I don't even think when AJ was in his little villain era in that first episode, he was that great. Well, anywho, so the next category is best supporting cast of season three. And this is series regulars that aren't our main six.
I am giving it to Dougie this season. I really think that this Dougie resurgence brought a new energy to Pacey and kind of gave Pacey someone to go to, someone to talk to. He helped move things forward with Pacey and Joey in a time where obviously Pacey couldn't be talking to Dawson about what was happening in his life. I don't know. I just really liked how he took shape this season. And I think he's not in season two, from what I remember, right? He's kind of in season one and then he reappears in season three. Or if he is, it's very sparse. And it was great to see him. And I like how they used him. I thought it was really, really well done.
He was a really good pick. I think they did a lot of new things with this character this season. He kind of became a sounding board for Pacey, like you said. You know, them moving in together was a really good progression.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great pick. My pick for best supporting cast for season three is going to Mary Margaret Humes, plays Gail, because we just love Gail. And I just have a soft spot for Mary Margaret. I think because, as we've talked about, you got me a cameo for my birthday from her. And it was like amazing. And, you know, we named the podcast after she's our namesake. And she had a lot to do this season. You know, she started the restaurant. She came back from Philly. She was fired from Philly. She faced the shame of Capeside, returning to Capeside. She got together with Mitch. She got married again. Queen. She cheated on that man and he came back. I mean,
what does that say about her?
She opened up a restaurant and she said, I don't need help from no man. But then she kind of needed help from a man.
Yeah.
But still, the sentiment was there.
Next, we have best music moment. Man, were there a lot to choose from this season? And you are up first.
I know. Well, there was a lot to choose from this season. My Bobby for best music moment for season three is going to go to In Your Keeping by Jan Arden in The Longest Day. And that plays during the scene at the end when Joey and Pacey decide to break up on the docks.
Great pick.
I just know that week that we did that episode, I must have listened to that song like probably 60 times. I just kept replaying it on my walks. Just the drama of the moment, the acting, The Longest Day is such a good episode. Jan Arden, she's one of those people where they use her music so much on the show. She's just like one of those defining artists of the series.
Mm-hmm.
And that scene in that episode, it all just worked for me.
Really great pick. Mine is, I think, no surprise to anyone, My Invitation by Sarah Sleen. Same as you. When we watched that episode, I listened to that song a million times. It is so good and so perfect for that moment. There's so much emotion in it. And I don't know. I mean, in a season full of bangers, that one stands out to me. And like when I think of this season, there are two songs that I think of when I think of this season. Daydream Believer in Stolen Kisses. And My Invitation by Sarah Sleen.
And this is the moment where Joey and Pacey dance at the prom.
And we talked about it when we did that episode, but there are some horns in the song that highlight the moment of them realizing that they're in love with each other so perfectly. Give it another watch, people. It is so good.
I was hoping this moment would come up because we have gotten so many comments on our Instagram, particularly like on the reel of this scene. Just like a lot of people genuinely and profoundly, not even like jokingly, although there are some jokes, you know, like this is what I hold like my romantic ideals to, like this is what I want. You know, like I've been looking for love like this my whole life. This scene really did live in people's minds, and I think still does. The impact of this dance and the dialogue in this scene, it's wild.
But I get it, because I feel the same way. When I tell you I got full body chills when that scene came on, I was not exaggerating. Like, I was like, took the air out of the room for me.
But it's so hard to remember everything.
Truly, as we just discussed, barely remember the beginning of this episode.
Truly don't remember anything. I'm like Drew Barrymore in 51st Dates. Every day is something new.
I don't remember everything, but I remember this scene.
I do feel like being a Dawson Joey fan at that time robbed me of like feeling the full feelings of this moment at that time. But I see it now that I am more of a Pacey Joey fan.
Completely.
Next category. The most shocking moment of season 3. And you were up first. So what is your Bobby for the most shocking moment?
Okay. I'm going to give my Bobby to the moment where we see Eve blowing Dawson, This is a moment that I did not remember, because I think when I watched it back in the day, it completely went over my head. And then that was not an episode that I revisited too much. But man, what a twist. What a way to like really kick off season 3 with a bang and say like, this is going to be something different.
Fully agree. Such a good moment. Dawson went from being all talk to something actually happening. And again, wow, very shocking.
What about you?
While that was in the mix for my shocking moment, my Bobby for most shocking moment is going to go to the reveal that Eve is Jen's sister.
Great one.
And I believe that was in Secrets and Lies. To me, I love a soapy twist. A lot of people thought it was too soapy for the show. Not for me. I just loved it. Truly shocked and really disappointed that they never followed up on it.
Yeah, there are a few casualties of the writer's room shakeup that I actually think are things that should have been explored, and that's one of them. The Eve character, I feel like she had a lot more to do in the show, and unfortunately, she maybe got tossed out with the bathwater, as they say.
Yeah, but I do want to give an honorable mention. This, as far as most shocking moments go, I just think Andy McPhee needs a shout out this season, because she gave us Andy cheating on Pacey, Andy stealing the PSATs, Andy lying about Rob's assault.
Yeah, Andy was messy.
She gave us some shockers.
That's a great point.
But I love that Eve is both of our winners in some way. So we love that.
We do. Next category is best moment in general. And you're up first.
The best moment for me is going to go to episode 301, Like a Virgin, Pacey and Joey on the dock at the end, where he rows his little boat up. She's crying. She says, of all the people who had to see me like this, it had to have been you. And he says, you know, Joe, we might even be friends. And she's like, oh, I'm upset enough as it is. I love that scene. I know what they're wearing. I know the song. It's just such a good moment for me. And it sets the tone for the season and really is the scene that sets the show on a new course.
Yeah. Well, to bookend it, my best moment is in the finale, 323 True Love. Same thing, last scene, Pacey and Joey. And it's the moment when she tells him that she loves him and she says permission to come aboard and gets on the boat. Pacey is so happy in that moment. The two of them and their joy in that moment was another one that, like, I got chills during that and I didn't expect to. And after a handful of tumultuous episodes, to see them like leave together happy, oh, it's just so good. I love it. And it did. It harkens back to that first episode.
I like that we bookended.
Yeah.
So the next category, we're getting down to the real, these are the big ones. Best main cast for season 3. What do you got?
Pacey for me. It's Pacey for me. He's grappling with a lot this season. He has a big breakup. He's cheated on. He has a broken heart. He tries a fuck buddy thing with Jen. He's fostering the youth with Buzz. He's defending Joey's honor. Yeah, he's just a king, actually. He's forgiving Andy for her infidelity and coming back around and being a good friend to her, taking her to prom. He's just really steadfast, steady, even in the face of Joey's indecision about their relationship. He's kind of just like, you know what? I'm here and I'll continue to be who I am. And I love that for him. I think it's wonderful. I think he's great. And he did a lot of growing this season.
Yeah, he's a great pick. He was in my top two for sure. My winner for best main cast is going to Katie Holmes, Joey Potter. It was tough because James Vanderbeek also got a lot of emotional stuff this season, especially towards the end. But I just feel like Katie Holmes from the jump from 301, you know, when she'd like throw herself at Dawson, to falling for Pacey, finding out Pacey and Jen were hooking up, you know, the Bessie weekend in the country, AJ, Pacey, Dawson finding out. There was just so much emotional stuff for her to play. I'm going to give that to Katie Holmes, Joey Potter.
Love that. Love those two.
They are just iconic.
Truly.
Honestly, truly.
Next up, we have best writer, and you're up first.
Well, of course, I have to give the best writer, Bobby, to Gina Fattori. Not only was she so amazing when she was on the pod, but she was my favorite before that. She wrote so many episodes this season. I believe she's tied for the most episodes written of the entire series. And she just has such a big say in this episode and the tone and the moments. And I feel like she was the definitive writer of season three.
To recap, she wrote Four to Tango, Northern Lights, Crime and Punishment, To Green with Love, and The Longest Day. And then she co-wrote Indian Summer and True Love with Tom Kapanos. And I know that because she was one of my picks as well. Just to keep things easy, I'm going to go with Tom Kapanos. So as I just said, he co-wrote Indian Summer and True Love with Gina, and then on his own wrote Escape from Witch Island, Valentine's Day Massacre, and Stolen Kisses. When we spoke to Gina, she kind of led us behind the curtain a little bit in that the handful of writers who were on in that second half of the season really all worked together to craft the season, even though they each got individual credit on the episodes. And I think that their fingerprints are so strong on everything, and it's obvious that Gina and Tom work really well together and as a really good team, and I think they both deserve them.
Totally.
Love that for them.
So next up, we have Best Director, Season 3. So who wins your Bobby for Best Director?
I have to give Best Director to Greg Prang. He's a steady mainstay throughout the whole series, and this season's no different. He directed Like a Virgin, Secrets and Lies, First Encounters of a Close Kind, Stolen Kisses, and The Anti-Prom. All fantastic episodes. He was also a producer on the season, and he's just one of those like steady voices. I'm sure that he is a reason that the show didn't go completely off the rails when things were kind of hectic. He feels like a steady kind of voice throughout the series, and I just love him.
Yeah, I agree with that. He was definitely up there for me just because he did so many. For me, I'm going to give my Bobby for Best Director to Lou Antonio, who did Indian Summer. I just love the first half of the season, and I love the Eve era, as I said. And I always think of Indian Summer when I think of season three. That's one of the episodes I think about. And I think he did such a good job, as did the writer, with kind of tonally creating like the film noir genre of the episode. That feeling of just, you know, Dawson needs to solve this mystery. It's like a kind of their take on a film noir. I think he did a really good job. Especially the scene where like Eve is on the boat and Dawson's watching her, and then he sneaks onto the boat and finds the picture. And Lou Antonio is just solid. I mean, we've talked about his work from the previous seasons.
Yeah, he's so good. And it's worth mentioning that this season, Indian Summer, is his last episode with Dawson's Creek. He did a hurricane in season one, which is like a big part of the reason why we started deep diving into him. That episode is one of our favorites. And then he did the dance and Changes in season two.
All bangers.
All bangers. No skips.
We're at the final two categories. These are the biggies. Worst episode of season three for you.
I'm going to be honest. Like, there are episodes that are not as strong as the others, but I wouldn't say any of them are like full out bad episodes. There are no his leading ladies in this season for me.
Right. Every episode's pretty enjoyable, I have to say.
I am going to give worst episode to Escape from Witch Island. It's not that it's a poorly written episode, directed episode, acted episode. It's just one that I never go back to, never rewatch. Like, it just, to me, was kind of a standalone, didn't need it kind of thing. When we watched it this season, though, I was kind of like, oh, yeah, okay. Like, I wasn't against it. It didn't rub me the wrong way, but could take it or leave it.
I have to agree with you there. For my worst episode, I'm going to give it to Barefoot at Cape Fest.
Yeah.
It's just not one that I remember well. And it's not one where I rewatch and I thought, oh, like this was great. It's just, it kind of gets lost in that mid-season shuffle for me. And this is the episode where Jack and Jen go to the music festival and Ethan is there and Henry is there. She reconnects with Henry. He reconnects with Ethan. Dawson goes to Nikki's house and she kind of pushes him to like probe further. He finds out that Nikki's divorced, like his parents are. And then it's Pacey and Andy in the play, the first part. And I just, none of it is like points of interest for me. But I will say, I think one of my worst picks for last season was Be Careful What You Wish For. And Barefoot at Cape Fest was mine this season. But I also, Witch Island was kind of up there for me. And one of the things that they all have in common is like, they all kind of take the characters and put them in this new setting or like an outdoor setting. And I wonder if like that's when like our characters are outside of the school and like the usual, do we just not like those or?
Yeah, that is interesting. They're all kind of in outdoor environments. I don't know, but I actually, when you said Barefoot at Cape Fest, I was like, oh yeah, I completely forgot about that episode, which is a good indication that it's one of the worst in my mind.
But we've talked about it, you know, with 22 episode seasons that had to span September to May, there always was a mid-season lull. The first like 10 episodes of the season are always great because the writers come back fresh and like everything's planned and everyone's rested and everyone's like firing on all cylinders. And then of course the end of the season is great because usually writers know where they want the season to end and they're writing to that climax. But there's always that dead zone in the middle where you're just trying to fill out a 22 episode order is a lot. You know, I think it was common for middle of the seasons to have lulls.
Yeah. And they rebounded immediately in the next episode with Weekend in the Country.
Yeah.
So good. So good.
Barefoot at Cape Fest. Sorry, you and my Bobby. Okay, we're here.
We're here. Best episode. Best episode of season 3. And you're up first.
I'm going to get hate for this. But my best episode of season 3, Bobby, goes to 301 Like a Virgin. And I'll tell you why.
Wow.
Because, A, you know, like we had to put a moratorium on the word like fresh at the beginning of the season because we just said it so much. But it was fresh. It was new. It was exciting. Everyone came back just looking great. The new writers, I thought, brought new energy. I thought Eve brought new energy. The Dawson and Joey not talking all summer was so good. And while I do think there were certain moments at the end of the season that were great, like prom and all of those episodes were great, there was just something about them that I didn't love. I didn't really love Jen and Henry. I didn't really like Jack and Ethan. So there were things at the end of the season where, although some of the moments in those episodes are better moments for me than anything that happened in 301, 301 for me is the best all around episode because I like what's going on with every character. Whereas some of the later episodes, I could find something to like check out of.
Wow. Controversial.
Yeah. I mean, I just love the first few episodes of the season.
As you said it nonstop. It was fresh. It just had this new feeling. It had this first day of school vibe. We were all in on it. So I get it.
Yeah. And like some of the later episodes, if I was just talking about the Dawson, Joey, Pacey of it all, I would choose those episodes.
Sure.
But there were other things going on in those episodes that weren't as strong as things that I think were going on in the first couple.
Fair enough.
And your Bobby for best episode of the season? I know what it is.
Oh. Do you? Because I don't know, this was really hard for me. I am gonna go with my gut, which I just said to you. When I think of this season, I think of the imagery from 319 Stolen Kisses. So I have to give it to 319 Stolen Kisses. If you've listened to the podcast, you know that for the last 5-ish episodes of the season, I was like, oh my God, this is the best episode. Oh my God, no, wait, this is the best episode. So it was really hard for me to say, but that episode with all of them outside of Jen, who didn't come, and outside of Jackers, who didn't come, hold up at Aunt Gwen's house, and the karaoke, and the will they, won't they, and even the Jen, Shelley, Henry piece of the puzzle, like, I don't know, it's just a great episode. As I mentioned, it's Tom Kapanos and Greg Prang, like, it was just a dream team, the music is right, everything felt good, and it's quintessential season 3 to me.
That was not what I thought you'd pick. I thought it would be between that or True Love, but you picked your best moment, you know, from True Love. So True Love got its flowers, as they say.
Absolutely. And the end of this season is so strong to me. Every episode is so good.
For sure.
It was tough, but that's what I'm going to say. I also wanted to give, though, honorary mention to Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, because we've talked multiple times about how the lore of that episode is that they wrote it in one night and were kind of like flying scenes to set because of the shakeup. That episode comes together so well. It's so good. It's cohesive. You just feel the group together so much. Like, it made me nostalgic. And the fact that they pulled it together with like so little prep is insane.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. It doesn't register.
It's not best episode for sure. But I just wanted to like give it.
Yeah, if I were to give an honorable mention for best episode, I think I'm torn between Prom and Weekend in the Country. But I think I would pick Weekend in the Country just because it was the entire cast. It was the return of Bodhi.
Totally.
It was the moment you find out Pacey, you know, because that was a shocking moment. You know, like that was in the running kind of for one of my favorite moments, is when you pull out and you kind of have to connect what Graham said about watching someone by the fire and Pacey's watching Joey by the fire. That's a big reveal.
And it's very intimate, and it's very the favorite smells, the all of it, the big chill dance party. Yeah. I don't think that Guess Who's Coming to Dinner is in the running for my favorite episode. I just felt like it was such a feat that I needed to give it a little shout out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's really, really good. Weekend in the Country is so good.
It's just hard to, I think as a writer, it's hard to do those episodes where every character's in it, because you have to kind of give every character their little moment. And like Graham's had a moment and Mitch had a moment in that season and episode, and Bessie and Joe. It's really a lot to service those characters in those episodes, every character. Well, those are the season 3 Bobbies.
Woo, we did it.
Let's talk about the future. We have a couple things coming up before season 4. We have our Gina Fattori interview.
Yes, broken into two parts.
What dates will those be coming?
Part 1 will be coming March 18th. Part 2 will be coming March 25th. So exciting.
She was amazing. And then season 4 will drop
April 8th.
April 8th.
It's right around the corner.
We're back, baby.
Spring is springing, and so are we.
April 8th. We're back for season 4, episode 401. Pacey and Joey are together. They sailed the seas. They're back. What does it mean for Dawson?
What does it mean for everyone?
What does it mean for us? And it's a great season. I'm so excited to get into it, because I will say, as much as I love it, I have not rewatched it a ton. Certainly not in the last few years.
Same here. I haven't watched seasons 4 through 6 in a really long time. And I know I love this season, so I'm so excited to get into it.
I cannot wait.
Amazing. Well, that's the season 3 Bobby Awards.
Congrats to all the winners and losers. Okay.
We'll talk to you guys in a couple weeks. Bye.
Bye.